Our last item on the agenda is item N, Judicial Branch Administration Council Oversight of AOC Contracts. We welcome back Justice Huffman and John Jednick.
Thank you, Chief Justice, members of the council. This particular item, and I understand fully that I am the last thing between you and your transportation.
And the freeway.
Yeah, and the freeway. So I have understand the word truncate, and I will try to do that. This comes to you. The A&E committee was asked by ENP to make recommendations to the council on oversight of the AOC's contracting process. And we were asked the questions that you have, what should the council's oversight role be, the information the council needed, what things are material, what can we recommend. And we undertook a study. We've examined all of the, we've had printouts of all of the contracts that the AOC handles. We've spent time with the AOC staff, the contracts management people, the finance people. And let me start with a proposition. The one thing I hope the report demonstrates to you is the council already has substantial oversight through its governance process of the vast bulk of the AOC's contracting process. When you look through it, the bulk of the money goes to the trial courts directly or to the facilities programs. In the facilities area, you have the two advisory committees on facilities and on trial court modification. And we, from our perspective, have taken the position you don't need any assistance from A&E or another committee on dealing with those. You have within the, we then looked at the contracts of money that go directly to the trial courts, the appellate courts. Again, we believe that where money is being dealt with directly to those courts, there really isn't a need for a separate advisory committee or form of separate oversight. You also have in the area of the litigation management process where outside counsel are hired by contract to represent the judicial branch or its members. There again, the litigation management committee of the council meets regularly with that group, and although their principal function is addressing settlements, there's an annual review of the litigation management process, and we think there is again available for you a ongoing oversight of the AOC's activities. So we wanted to put in perspective what kinds of contracts are there. So the trial court trust fund, improvement modernization fund, workers' comp fund, facilities are all, we'll show you in a moment, the major portions of the contracting process. Then there's some money, as you'll see on the chart, called local assistance. That money has to do with the draft program that is the AOC's portion of that program. Then local assistance reimbursements, the 1058 programs, facilitators and commissioners. You'll see that when I get to the next chart. And then support reimbursements or grants made directly to the trial court, such as for self-help centers. So as we look at the funds that are administered by the AOC contracts, if you look at that chart, what we are focusing on in our recommendations to you is that sliver of the 5%. Those are contracts administered by the AOC on AOC-related activities for which we don't see any other external oversight. Now, I must say at the outset, there is a very robust contract review process within the AOC, and it's laid out in your materials, but there is no external oversight body with regard to that 5% that we've identified. There is, of course, the trial court, the judicial branch contracting manual. Compliance with that is reviewed by legal services on an annual basis. So if we look at the numbers, you'll see the nub of what we're presenting to you today, and of course it's up to the council where you want to direct this committee or another committee, and incidentally, the ante is not staking this out as our turf. If you'd like to assign this oversight to someone else, we won't complain. But the general fund money, the $17.15 million, is the principal target of what we would be making proposals regarding. And of that amount, $3.619 million is for the CHP's contract for security services for the Courts of Appeal and the Supreme Court, and we really would not have much to do with that. So what are we recommending? And you have our recommendations, and let me do them very quickly because we have recommendations and exclusions. And that is, we think you should have a body, a committee, that reports at least semi-annually to the council. We are structuring this recommendation much along the lines of the Appellate Indigent Defense Oversight Advisory Committee, ADOAC, which on a regular basis reviews the contracts and the expenditures for the appointed counsel in criminal cases before the Supreme Court and Courts of Appeal. And they have a process of sampling and reviewing. And we would recommend that you create a committee or designate a committee to do that, and that we would, in that committee also, in addition to its regular process, should be available for reviewing anything that the council or E&P believed was an urgent or a special contract process. And I would anticipate that in reviewing the contracts, it would not just be, well, yes, that's a contract, and what's the money, but what's it for, and is it implementing the policy of the council? Is it pure contrary? Does it raise issues that ought to be raised to the attention of the council for its decision-making process? And we would do that by reviewing. You have to have a baseline as a still a substantial number of contracts. And then you'd probably look at the new contracts based on a dollar amount. Certainly anything $1 million or over is worth looking at. Any changes, significant changes to ongoing contracts would warrant attention. And then you'd want to do some regularized sampling of existing contracts as you go through on a semi-annual basis. It's also been suggested to us that every year as the branch modifies or amends or revises its judicial branch contracting manual, that it would be productive to have this committee participate in the review of those updates and amendments and consult with legal services from the standpoint of accountability and efficiency. In the process, we would exclude from those processes, as we've said, contracts that are directly with the trial courts or the courts of appeal, all the facilities contracts, the litigation contracts, interbranch agreements between the AOC and the trial courts, and we would not review for compliance with the legal branch contracting manual. We're also aware that audits will be done by the California State Auditor with regard to contracting, and we would expect that the council would want the results of those audits referred to your reviewing committee for ongoing analysis along with the internal audit services. So that is a quick overview. And I would be pleased to answer questions. Again, I think it important, though, to publicly acknowledge that you do have substantial ongoing oversight external to the AOC of the process of how the AOC spends money through its contracting process. There is this one piece that we think probably would justify a separate group on an ongoing basis, because even if we are dealing with to give you an example, there's been a focus by some public information request on hotel costs and increase in hotel costs. May not be a big deal. May warrant somebody saying, okay, we've looked at it and it is good or it's bad or whatever it is. Oversight is not a value judgment. It is identifying potential issues, getting the facts for those, and then bringing them to the decision makers for them to do as they deem appropriate. So that is our proposal. I'd be pleased to answer questions.
Judge Rosenberg.
I just had one question, and I thought this was quite comprehensive. Your recommendation is for a semi-annual review by the council. Why semi-annual as opposed to quarterly?
Well, I think it was we were moved in part, one, by the fact that we were dealing with a limited portion of the AOC's contracting process. And I think in the other part was we were kind of making this up as we go along. I mean, if the council wants quarterly review, we'll do quarterly review. One of the things that I think I've learned from this is if you go forward, whatever committee, if it's A&E or whatever, you probably want to have a little longer tenure of people on the committee. You probably want to have more court executives on the committee. Yeah. And I think you also, and I'm remiss in not pointing out, meetings also are a cost-based issue. This can't be done by telephone. This has to be done in person given the quantity of data. So you would have the more meetings, the more cost. And the one other item that could happen, given the technical nature of some of the contracts for technology or other types of things, an advisory committee might need, with the approval of E&P or whoever, to have some assistance from outside consultants or something so that we don't have to go to the AOC and say, why did you do what you did?
Thank you. Yeah, that all makes sense. Thank you for answering the question.
Judge Jacobson.
I'm fine with the substance. That's the one concern I have, with all respect to Justice Huffman. He suggested perhaps some other committee than his to look at it. And we have just been in an ongoing process over a period of time to limit the number of committees we have. So I have some concern about the idea of creating a new committee for this. If Justice Huffman is willing to take this on.
I believe it's a presumptive assignment to A&E unless there's affirmative action otherwise.
With that, then I will make a motion to approve the recommendation for Justice Huffman's committee.
Second.
Second by Jim Fox. Any further discussion? Seeing no hands raised. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you for your very hard work, Justice Huffman, on so many projects that were presented today.
Thank you,
today.
I guess I should say thank you.
You tried, Justice.
Before we adjourn, I want to also say two things. First, I want to again mention and thank the outgoing members. As you know, when you leave council, you never really get far away, because we call on your expertise for other assignments important to the branch. But I also want to mention and say thank you from all of us on council to Judge Ira Kaufman, Judge Bob Moss, Judge Alan Hardcastle, Judge Lori Earl, Alan Carlson, and Edith Mathai. Judge Earl.
Chief, I want to say thank you for the opportunity to serve on the council. I want to thank my fellow council members for the opportunity as well. I've learned a lot. I've enjoyed the time I've had on the council. I also want to commend the council members for just the sheer amount of work that you do on a volunteer basis that pulls you away not only from your courts and your offices. It is very hard work. It is voluminous, and you should be commended for that. And in my opinion, the reward is not in the government rate hotels or the $18 San Francisco dinners, but on the ability and opportunity to be able to make be engaged in discussions and decisions on a policy level in an effort to improve the administrative of justice for the members of California and for our judicial officers. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We adjourn today, as we often unfortunately do, in remembrance of a judicial colleague recently deceased, Honorable Robert Armstrong, Superior Court of Los Angeles County. He was retired from the bench. We thank him for his service to the bench and to his service to the cause of justice for California. The next regularly scheduled meeting will be here, Judicial Council, on October 24 and 25.
All right.
Thank you.